a final reading of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Well, in seminary, we were only allowed to use one version of the Bible, and that was the Revised Standard. Now they have the New Revised Standard Version, but I mention it because if you read chapter 12 of Romans with the Revised Standard Version, it begins like this. I appeal to you, therefore, that by the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds that you might know and approve the good, pleasing, perfect will of God. So going back for a minute, I want us to think about, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. Now, Paul is writing a letter, so it's not chapter and verse. And he's dictating it to a scribe who's writing it down for him. And Paul's getting, I think, to the end where he's trying to sum things up in his letter. I appeal to you. Have you ever made an appeal? Of course we have. I mean, if you've ever watched Perry Mason, now I'm dating myself here, but did he ever lose a case? And he always made an appeal, didn't he? He appealed to his audience, the jury, and he you know, through logic or whatever, he was able to make his case. I appeal. And if you were a family member sitting in a courtroom and you had a loved one who was on trial or, you wanted that appeal to happen. And how about as a parent? Have we ever made an appeal to our kids? I appeal to you. Come on now, straighten up. You know, do the right thing, make good choices, go to college, whatever the case might be. Sometimes we made an appeal. Not that it was always rubbing off on them, but we appealed to them. And sometimes people come to us who are appealing for help, aren't they? I remember in my first little church, we had maybe 30 members at most. It was a little church in the country west of Mount Gilead, and I was in seminary, and we'd drive up to this little church on Sundays. They rang the bell, and it was quite a little church. And one Sunday, 29 out of the 30 left the church, but one lady hung back. And after everybody left, she came up to my wife, Rosemary, and I and said, I need your help. And here what was happening is her husband and teenage son were actually abusing her. And boy, we went right down to the house and we made an appeal to the husband and the boy, and we told them, you're going into counseling, and this behavior will stop now. So sometimes we have to make that kind of an appeal. But listen to Paul. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, what's Paul thinking about here? Well, I think he's thinking about what we Methodists call justifying grace. That justifying grace is like, it's a legal term, actually, that in the courtroom, God's courtroom, we are guilty as charged, and yet Jesus makes an appeal for us on the cross and through his resurrection. I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And so this appeal has to do with us surrendering ourselves and getting rid of any egos we might have and giving it all over to Jesus Christ, trusting in his total grace. That is that saving grace that Paul is appealing for us at this point. So Jesus makes his appeal for us, and therefore then we can then discern what God's pleasing, perfect will is, because we don't want to please the world. We want to please God when we turn our life over. And so we can prove, and that will changes from our will and what we want to do to how we can please God. So this evening, I want us to think about that appeal that Jesus has made for us. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And then he goes on to talk about the ministry of reconciliation, that God reconciled himself to us through Christ. But here's the powerful point, dear friends. Just like Jesus made his appeal for us, and thus we can turn our life over. Once we do, the transformed life begins to happen. And Paul actually says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 is that he wants us to join that ministry of reconciliation, be reconciled to God. And he goes on to talk about the ministry of reconciliation. He says, we are like God's ambassadors, God making his appeal through us. Well, that gets us into the second and third parts of what I read in Romans chapter 12. You see, Paul talks about this theology and how we turn ourselves over to Jesus and Jesus making this appeal. But then we have to understand that in the body of Christ, in the church, then we all have a part. And no one's better than the other. No one gift is better than the other. We use our gifts for the glory of God. So we don't think highly of ourselves. We think with sober judgment, as Paul says. And we utilize this, our gifts, for one reason. That is to build up the body. That is to build one another up, not to build ourselves up. And so that's the point of that second part. And we are empowered then. We're transformed, we're empowered. And then the third thing is, Paul says, make sure your love is genuine. Now that's the RSV. It says sincerely with the new standard here. But make your love genuine. Isn't that powerful? A few years ago, many years ago, actually, my wife and I went to a conference out in Phoenix, Arizona, to a church. And it was a Lutheran church that had just exploded as far as members and people who were coming to the Lord. And so we wanted to see what this church was like and the atmosphere. And they called themselves the Community Church of Joy. Do you know what joy stood for? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Isn't that what Paul's saying in our text today? Jesus first, be transformed. Others second, use your gifts to build up the body, and yourself last. Because in the end, we will be caught up in this joy, and we will just experience a new life in Christ. that will change our lives forever, and we will make a difference in this world. Amen.